Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's good to be here again. I think last time that I was here, not last time I was in Durham, but last time I was on this platform, which I think was in April, I said this and I'll say it again, that it's a great privilege for me to come here every time I come and to be here and sometimes share, to go out with Pastor Calvin and serve and share the gospel. God only knows how extremely my life has been blessed because of my submission and partnership with Pastor Calvin. He's one of those people that God has put in my life over the last 8 years, who, through whom the Lord has greatly blessed my life. And if you're here and you have nobody over your life, nobody through whom the Lord speaks to you, rebukes you, encourages you, then you'd know part of why you have a lot of spiritual troubles. I'm reading a book called The Deeper Experiences of Famous Christian, which Brother Zach asked us to read in Canada. I know when he recommends books, you should read them. So I quickly went and bought it. One thing that you found there is that everybody, every individual that they speak about in that book had someone who mentored them. Whether the person was alive and was actually mentoring them, or whether it was through reading their books, all of them, Savonarola in Florence, Italy, Madame Guyon Fenelon, George Fox, Jonathan Edward, George Whitfield, John Bunyan, all those people, they had somebody who invested in them. Praise the Lord. I don't have a grand sermon to preach. I'm just going to be honest, I'd rather come and sit and just enjoy the worship and enjoy the message that Sister Rachel is going to give. But Pastor Callan asked me to share something, so this is what the Lord put on my heart. Acts 13. In the church in Antioch, from verse 1, in the church in Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manan, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Is everyone there? Chapter 13, Acts, from verse 1. The Bible said, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manan, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Here is this church, and the Bible is giving us the leaders of the church. And normally they are being given in their order of importance. So number one is Barnabas. What ethnicity was he from? Who was Barnabas?
Jewish.
He was Jewish. Who was Simon called Niger? An African black man. That's what Niger means. A black man from Africa. There's a country named by the same name to this day. Lucius of Cyrene. Where is Cyrene? in Libya, Africa. Manan and the Bible make sure that we know who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, the king. And Saul, who was he? Who was Saul? A Jew. So you have this multi-ethnic church. This person from Africa, this person from Israel, this other person from this other part of the world, different races, different social background. This one was raised with a king. This one you just grew up being a Pharisee. This other one, I don't know, was just a regular citizen or resident of Jerusalem. The other one, this African, I don't know what he did or what he didn't do. And these people gathered in one church. One of the ways that I know that God is moving in a place is when it attracts people of different races and ethnicities. What is the church? Jew and Gentiles worshiping together as one new man is what the Bible says. Amen. Jews and Gentiles worshiping together as one new man. So when you have today black church in this corner, white church in this other corner, you know that the people have lost God. When you have over here the service ends, all black people coming up. Here the service ends, all white people coming up. Over there the service ends, all Asian people coming out. You wonder what happened to the church. If Jesus came back to America, he will not weep over the bars. Because those who go to the bars are unbelievers who are just doing what they're supposed to do as lost people. He will grieve over his church. He will grieve over his church. Someone said that Sunday morning is the most segregated time in America. And it's true. At MIT, the school where I go to on Friday evening is when the Christians have their gatherings. You have in the same building, here Black Christian Fellowship meeting. You walk a bit there in the other living room, Asian Christian Fellowship meeting. If you walk down one another building down, you might find Chinese Bible Fellowship meeting. You go to the Student Center, Asian Baptist Student Koinonia is meeting on the third floor. The same night. And it tells you that somewhere we've strayed away. But what I want to say is that if you have a church where there are different people, you're blessed. It is great to be in a church where this one talks with this other accent, this other one talks with this other accent, this other one chews his food this way, and this other one drinks her cup this way. You might not agree on everything. You may not be on the same page about everything. But so long as you seek the Lord and you put the Lord first, you have a blessed church. Another thing that I'm reading in this book, not all these men of God who were powerfully used by God believe the same thing. Just talk to John Wesley and George Whitefield and you'll find out that they did not exactly believe in exactly the same thing. But they believed in one thing for sure, is that sinners must repent and believe in Jesus and follow him and show their lives by their walk, show their faith by their lives. And so long as that was settled, they walked in fellowship with one another. And so, there should be no strife. There should be no separation just because you're different. It is a blessing when you have people from this place together worshiping and praising the Lord. To me, that is one of the greatest testimony that God is at work. Because when God moves and God is here, nobody will come because they want to find a black man here. And no one will come because they want to find a white man here. They will come because they want to find God. If they are sinners and they know that God is there and God is going to forgive me and set me free from my sin and my burden will be rolled away, they will come. And they will not care if you look black, yellow, red or purple. Now, what is sad is that these believers in the first century, when there was enormous prejudice, far more than today, when there was real separation of races and ethnicities, in those days when there was no, you know, political correctness like we have today, that forces some people, although they're racist at heart, but they have to say that they like everybody. Even in those days, this believer were able to achieve this sort of unity. But today, 2,000 years later, the churches are racially split, ethnically split. It's not right. We're not doing in the 21st century what the church was able to do in the first century society, which had a lot more prejudice than today's society. We've gone backwards. May the Lord help us to see the beauty that there is. Now, very interestingly, as you will see later, as you know the story, of course, Barnabas and Saul get sent away. So who takes care of the church in Antioch? Simon called Niger, the black man. I don't understand when these people talk about Christianity being the white man's religion. This is the church in the first century. Barnabas is gone. Simon, the black man, takes over it. Now, what was their secret? Verse 2, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. They were worshippers. They were after God. They were not after politics. They were not after religious politics, that is. They were not after their own agendas. They were not trying to make a name for themselves. They were not trying to get ahead of the other. They were not building a kingdom for themselves. They were seeking the Lord. They were worshiping the Lord. When you have people who begin to break up, I don't like him because he's like that. I don't like him because he's like that. I don't like her because she's like that. It's because they've taken their eyes off the Lord. And their Christianity has become men-centered. Now, that's the first thing I wanted to mention. The second thing is that Barnabas and Saul get sent. The Bible says the Holy Spirit spoke and said, set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. So Barnabas and Saul begin to go. And an interesting thing happens. This is the prophecy that Paul... This is about nine years after the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. From the day one of his conversion, he was told by the Lord that he would become an apostle. He will bring the gospel to people. After 9 years of submitting and being listed here as the least of all the leaders, the time had come for the Lord to send him out. God has great things for our lives, but for a while, he asks us to submit, to be at the lowest place. And as you remain faithful at that low place, as you remain faithful as a servant, the time comes when the Lord releases you to do what He called you to do. There are many people who have just wanted to be ahead from day one, and they don't get anywhere. They have never learned to sit. It was Barnabas who brought Saul to the church in Antioch. And though this man already had the great revelation that he had, he was listed here as the last of all the leaders. He was the man who was to impact the world with the gospel more than any of the other. Yet the Lord left him there to serve. And then from there, he was sent off. Have you been here in this church just trying to grab, trying to control, trying to get your agenda to come to pass? May the Lord bring your heart to repentance. May you learn to submit to your pastor. Be under him. Even if you're more spiritual than him. I am sure Saul of Tarsus, he must have been more spiritual than these other people. Even if you think you're more spiritual than him, submit and be there. And after a time, the Lord will call you. Now, I'm not just preaching theories. I came to U.S. in 1998. After a month or two, I wrote to Brother Calvin. And I told him that I will submit to you. I will serve you. I will not talk against your back. I will help you succeed in what the Lord has called you to do. And by the grace of God, I have stuck to that. When people are criticizing him left and right, north and south, east and west, I follow. And I tell you, and I say this not to brag, but for your good, the Lord has blessed my life tremendously because of it. Probably more than he knows. The Lord has blessed my life tremendously. My original plan was to graduate from college, then move here and help Pastor Calvin with the church. I did not have plans to go and be number one in something somewhere. But after, as we went along, the Lord showed that that was not what He wanted me to do, but to start a church in Boston, and so I have. But it was from that position of wanting to serve somebody else that the Lord has called me out and placed me there. And the Lord will do the same for you. Now, let me go quickly, because I must keep this short. Now, an interesting thing happens. When Saul goes off, you would think that because the Holy Spirit spoke, and because they prayed and they fasted, as the Bible says, and because God had given him a prophecy, and for 9 years he'd been preparing for it, you would think that they would get instant success, isn't it? But the Bible says they went there, and for the first few stops that they make, there are virtually no results. Look at it. The Bible says the two of them sent on their way by who? By the Holy Spirit, verse 4. The two of them sent by the Holy Spirit went down to Cilicia and sailed from there to Cyprus. Are there any conversions recorded in Cyprus? No. Nobody believes there. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogue. Did anybody get converted? Did they plant a church? No. John was with them as their helper. And they went through these stops and nothing is happening. They get to this place, the Bible said they traveled through the whole island until they came to Paphos. There they met a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet named Bar-Jesus, who was an attendant to the proconsul Sergius Paulus. The proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. By Elymas the sorcerer, for that's what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. until this point, all they encounter is opposition. No conversion, nobody coming to Christ. Stop for a minute. Have you been in the work of God, and for a while you've seen nothing happening? And you've begun to wonder who actually sent you. Was it the Holy Spirit or yourself? I'm sure Barnabas and Saul must have asked themselves that question. Did we really hear the Holy Spirit speak? Did we go too early? Did we go out too late? Is there sin in our lives? What are we doing wrong? And they come to this place, and the one person who wants to, he listens to them. It was a struggle to get him converted. They had to fight with the sorcerer. The Bible says, then Saul, who was called Paul, verse 9, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, you are a child of the devil and enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind, and for a time you will be unable to see the light of the sun. Immediately mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. The Lord showed me something in this passage. There was a turning point in the trip that Barnabas and Paul undertook. What was the turning point? Verse 9. Then Saul, who was called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke. When he was filled with the Holy Spirit, when he received a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit, then things began to break through. And the Lord showed me this, in particular for Boston, because the Bible said that this consul was a very intelligent man. Verse 7. Boston is full of intelligent people. As Charles Finney, who was there over 100 years ago, said, the people there are very intelligent, except in the matter of religion. In the matter of religion, they listen to any law is here and law is there, they go. But they're very intelligent people. And you can't win them by arguing. You cannot win people by out-arguing them. The only thing that will save people is that there be believers who receive a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. And they will be amazed at the teaching of the Lord, and then will believe. Saul, for a time, for these years, had been a leader in the church of Antioch. And he had the power of the Holy Spirit there to minister as a teacher and as a prophet like the others. However, he could not rely on that old anointing for the new work. For every new crisis, there must be a new anointing. For every new challenge, there must be a new anointing. For every new work, we must seek the Lord. The problem with many of us is that we live in the shadow of our former walk with God. We touched God maybe 8 years ago. And then we were full and we were beaming. And maybe that was enough for what the Lord had you doing at that time. But for this new breakthrough of the gospel going for the first time to all the Gentiles, the anointing that they got back in Jerusalem was not enough. And they had to receive a fresh anointing. And Paul, Saul, and from this time, the Bible consistently calls him Paul. From this point, notice that before he's called Saul, something happens to him here. And from then on, you begin to see this first convert came to Christ on their trip. No one man can be genuinely converted without a power of the Holy Spirit that comes upon us for that purpose. May we seek it. May we receive it. Now, the results even then were not immediately enormous. It began little by little. And the Lord has given you maybe a little bit of fruit. You should thank Him for that. I'll end by mentioning this one last thing. This was at Paphos that these things were happening. Verse 13, from Paphos, Paul and his companion sailed to Perga in Pamphylia, where John left them to return to Jerusalem. John left them because he was discouraged, I personally believe. We know that there was a prayer meeting in Jerusalem in his mother's house, right? We know that there was a house church in John Mark's mother's house. He was used to that day of Pentecost where 3,000 people came to Christ in one day and the whole thing was just growing and growing and growing and the power of God was moving, people getting healed left and right and Peter's shadow healing people and all sorts of things. We know from history that there were about 200,000 people in Jerusalem and the early church converted half of them. There were 100,000 people in the early church in Jerusalem. Mark was used to that. And so this new thing of going somewhere and nobody believing or just one person believing must have looked quite strange to him. He must have wondered, is the Holy Spirit upon these older guys that I'm following? And he must have gotten weary and he must have said, I think I'm just going home. I want to ask you to learn to stick with people and to stay to what the Lord has assigned you to do. Through the thick and the thin. When it's growing and when it's not growing. Stick to the calling that the Lord has put in your life. You might have been here, you might have been saying, but where are the people? I was in the church in Yaoundé. It's big. Lots of people. The power of God is there. Every message. It doesn't matter when you were converted. When they preach the gospel, you feel like going to the altar again. Have you sat down when Brother Zach comes and just sits down and for 2 hours he tries to tell you the latest things that have been happening there? And you're just, and it makes you wonder, am I serving the same God that they're serving or not? I mean, it just goes on and on. This other person got healed. This person here was paralyzed. And after we prayed for him, he started walking. The other day, we had an evangelistic meeting. There were so many unbelievers who came. We had no seats. We had to send some other away. And it just goes on and on. It makes you wonder, am I serving the same God that they're serving? I'm sure Mark must have asked himself that question when he saw meager results, one city after the other. But just as he left them, in the next town that they went, the Bible said they entered the synagogue and preached the gospel, a long message. Paul preaches a long message and he ends it with these words, verse 39. Through him, that is the Lord Jesus, through him everyone who believes is justified from everything you could not be justified from by the law of Moses. Everyone who believes, Jew or Gentile. In the synagogue, Paul addressed them all, Jews and Gentiles. Everyone who believes is justified. The Bible says, verse 43, when the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas to talk with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. The result in this next town were bigger than in the previous. God was opening with that new anointing that they had received. And the Bible says, verse 44, on the next Sunday, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. The next Sunday, or no, the next Saturday, because it was the Sabbath. The next Saturday, almost the whole city gathered. If John Mark had just stayed for one more stop and had seen what God was doing, he would not have left. Many people quit just before the blessing comes. Many people quit just before the blessing comes. We preached in Boston a few weeks ago. Just as God was about to finish to give the plan for the tabernacle, his dwelling place among his people, they said, well, Moses is getting late, let's make a golden calf. And they used the gold that God had meant for them to put into the building of the tabernacle, to building a golden calf. Just as Moses was about to get down the mountain, as God was just finishing great plans for them to make his home in their midst, they went astray. They quit just about when the blessing was supposed to come. Many people live and quit just before God is about to bless. So again, I encourage you to stick to what the Lord calls you to. Now, if you have been one of those who have gotten discouraged, strayed away, left, refused to be a servant, and left those you were serving, like John Mark, this is not a message to condemn you. We know that even on the next trip, Paul did not want to take Mark with him because he had left them the first time, isn't it? But God is merciful, and he gives a second chance to anyone who wants to. And we thank God for Mark that though he deserted, though he got discouraged, God gave him a restoration. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he's helpful to me in my ministry. This is Paul speaking years later. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he's helpful to me in my ministry. The Lord restored this man, and he wrote one of the Gospels that we have. So there's always a time to start with the Lord again, whenever you want. You can start with him. If you're backslidden, if you've been discouraged, yeah, you should weep in repentance. But as you weep, be encouraged. If you have not been serving, you've been your own man or your own woman, doing your own thing, coming to church when you want, staying home when you want, praying when you want, not praying when you want, singing when you want, not singing when you don't want to. Accountable to nobody. You can start again. The only thing that will keep you is pride. You can start again with God. And he can give you again the place that he meant you to have. Mark was meant to be an helper to the apostle. And God restored him to that. And Paul valued his friendship and his partnership so much, insisted that Timothy brings him with him. That's what I had to share. Let's pray. Let's ask the Lord that he will fulfill his promise to this church. And let's ask the Lord that all of us, those of us who are here, those of us who are not here, that we will stand strong and commit ourselves to support the work that God has raised here. No matter what the devil does. Let's pray. Our blessed Lord, even as we sang that we have promised to serve you and we will stick to our promise, Father, we pray that we will all serve you here. Father, that those whom you have called, those who have strayed, O God, those who have forsaken the calling of God on their lives, those who have backslidden, who have lost God, Lord, restore them like you restored Mark. Restore them to you and restore them to the individuals with whom they have parted with. Lord, restore, O God, restore, restore, O Lord, restore from all rebellion, restore from all lack of submission, restore from all lukewarmness, Lord, restore from all divided hearts. Restore, Lord, we pray for all of us, wherever we have strayed, bring us back, O Lord, bring us back in your love and in your mercy, that once again will be useful to your work. And Father, we pray that you'll fulfill your promise to this church. In Jesus' name, amen.